الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما My dear brothers and sisters, Eid Mubarak to all of you and to your families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your sacrifice, your udhiyah, and may Allah be pleased with you and protect you from all evil. Alhamdulillah, today we were able to pray Salatul Eid in congregation while maintaining individual distance and taking all precautions against COVID. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless and reward all those who made this possible, all of you who worked so hard to make this event, and I was there myself, so I can vouch for the fact that it was beautifully conducted. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to reward all of you and all of those who made it possible. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the space and He granted us the laws and the support of the community and the government and the wherewithal to be able to do this. While we were doing that, I am thinking now about our brothers and sisters, Muslims in different parts of the world, who cannot celebrate Eid ul Adha, who cannot celebrate it at all, or who cannot celebrate it freely, who are living in various states of fear because of oppressive dictatorial regimes that they are living under. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove their oppressors and to punish them and to free them and to enable them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it is His right to be worshipped. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He gave us in this country, for us to be able to practice our religion in peace and dignity and harmony. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. And He does not forgive more than He forgives in these first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Today is the last of those days. And so in the midst of our celebration, let us not forget to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek His forgiveness. Success and failure in life is not measured by the amount of wealth or power or property or authority or anything else of this life that we may accumulate, because all of it will have to be left behind. When we are called to meet Allah, we leave all of that behind. Real success and failure is measured by whether or not we were able to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. So let us ask for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged us to seek forgiveness and He promised to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the famous ayat of Surah Az-Zumar, which we all know, Allah said, Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my ibad, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil and sins, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Truly, He is oft forgiving and most merciful. My brothers and sisters, what do you say about our Rabb, who calls those who anger Him and who transgress against Him and who disobey Him, He calls them my slaves. What do you say? When if somebody disobeys us, we distance them. We say, no, you are not mine. Go away. I usually give this example with children. When your child misbehaves, the father will say to the mother, see what your son is doing. And if he is doing well, see what my son is doing. You know, so it
even with children. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we are doing. We disobey Him, yet Allah says, Ya ibadi, O my slaves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. In German, there is a phrase, and the phrase says, Hope dies last. Hope dies last. And alhamdulillah, in the case of the Muslim, hope never dies. Because there is no despair in Islam. Hope always is alive in Islam, alhamdulillah. Because our link, the one we have hope on, never dies. And therefore, our hope never dies. And that's what Allah is saying, do not despair. Do not let your hope for forgiveness, don't let this hope die. Because Allah will forgive. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. What more can we ask? But you know, there is more. There is always more when it comes to the mercy of Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyiatihim hasanat wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahim. Allah said, except those in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah said, except those who repent and believe in Islam. Who repent and believe. So istighfar is very important. Repent and believe in Islam and who do righteous good deeds. For them, Allah will not only forgive them, Allah will change and convert their sins into good deeds. Yeah, Allah will convert that. And Allah is oft forgiving and most merciful. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to stretch out His hand in the night so that the sinners of the day may repent. And He will continue to stretch out His hand in the daytime so that the sinners of the night may repent until the sun rises in the west. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is in Sahih Muslim. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stretch out His hand, meaning, come. This way, come, seek forgiveness. Stretch out His hand throughout the night so that people who committed sins in the day, they may go to Allah, turn to Allah. And He will stretch out His hand throughout the day for the people who committed sins in the night to return to Him until the sun rises in the west, meaning until we have life. My brothers and sisters, so let us take advantage of this and let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy. Let us not delay, because we don't know when the door will open for us and when those who are appointed to take us before our Rabb will arrive. Every day we get news of this. Just yesterday, one of my colleagues from my tea planting days, who was about 10 years my junior, he was about 55 years old, suddenly heart failure. He died. The number of cases that I've been hearing, things like, it's literally like saying he got up and died. That's it. I mean, how did he die? He just died. Khalas. No reason. There's no COVID, nothing. Perfectly healthy person, young guy, not overweight, doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, doesn't do anything, then gone. We don't know when what we do know is there will come a time when one of you will stand here or somewhere and announce that I have gone. If Allah wills that I die here, then one of you or more of you will bury me in this graveyard here. Wallahu a'lam. If I die somewhere else, you will announce and say, our brother passed away. This day is going to happen. This day will happen. There is no doubt about this. What is our preparation? What is our preparation? My brothers and sisters, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. He said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, if somebody commits a sin and says, Oh my Rabb, he is repenting. Oh my Rabb, I have sinned. Please forgive me. His Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu says, my slave knows that he has a Rabb. My slave knows that he has a Rabb who forgives sins and he may punish. But I have forgiven him. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the slave remains without committing a sin for some time. And then he commits a sin again and he said, Ya Allah, O my Rabb, I have committed a sin. Please forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my slave knows that he has a Rabb who forgives sins. And he may punish, but I forgive him. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the slave remains without committing a sin for some more time. And then he commits a sin again, third time. And he says, oh my Rabb, I have committed a sin. Please forgive me. Allah says, my slave knows that he has a Rabb who forgives. And he may punish, but I forgive him and let him do what he wants. Huh? Now that does not mean let him commit any sin. What it means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that no matter what, no matter how many times it happens. Now again, it's a matter of, you know what in Urdu we say, sharam haya bha bolte hain. Itta bitta bhi besharam, beghairat aadmi to nahi hona chahiye. Bar bar wohi cheez kar raha, kyun kar raha? But if it happens, you know, one should not be without ghira, without haya. But despite that, even though you don't want to do it, it happens. Whatever the reason, it happens. Now what do you do? Shaitan comes to you and says, no, you know what, too many times. I mean, you have been doing this the whole time. Every time you say this, you do it again and Allah won't for you. There is another hadith where Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned a specific thing. He said that there are people who will say, Allah will never forgive you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He wants to order me. He wants to rule over me about what I will do and I will not do. I will forgive the one who committed the sin and I will put this fellow into the hellfire. Because he is trying to say that he knows what I will do. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. This religion begins on mercy. And it ends on mercy. So never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. No matter what happens in life. With respect to seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, there are two things to be done in sequence. Istighfar and then tawbah. To express regret and to seek forgiveness and then to change our life and turn towards Allah. Istighfar is to seek forgiveness. Tawbah is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hud, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ. Allah said, ask forgiveness of your Rabb and then turn to Him in repentance. Verily, my Rabb is most merciful and most loving. And then of course we know the ayat of Surah An-Nuh, where when the people came to Nuh alayhi salam, when they had difficulties because of their disobedience, they came to him. Nuh alayhi salam said to them, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. I said to them, Nuh alayhi salam is saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said to them, ask forgiveness from your Rabb. He is the most forgiving. He is of forgiving. He will send rain to you in abundance and He will give you increase in wealth and children and He will bestow on you gardens and bestow on you rivers. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, to make istighfar is to accept responsibility, to own our mistakes and our sins and our crimes, to be genuinely regretful and contrite, to be ashamed that we committed the sin, though we knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was watching. How shameful is it that we would not have dreamt of committing that sin if someone we love and respect had been watching. If my father was watching, my mother was watching, if somebody I love, my children were watching, I would never do that. But I know Allah is watching, still I do it. I mean, how shameful is that? And yet we claim that we love Allah and we respect Allah. Just reflect on this. If our level of iman cannot even protect us from a small sin today, how is this iman going to protect us from the hellfire? أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that that is the reason why it is so important to make genuine and sincere istighfar. And the reason why istighfar is the first step to gaining the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Then comes tawbah, which means to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to change our life, to change our habits, to change our speech, to change our friends and to change our focus. A lot of times sins happen not because we want to do that, but because we are surrounded by people like that. And so we succumb to peer pressure, we succumb to all kinds of things. The best thing to do is to keep yourself in the company of good people, then automatically good things will happen. Right? And many of us, when we do etikaf, this is something we feel. When you are in the masjid in etikaf, then, you know, the many things that you may do outside, you don't do because nobody is doing it. You are in the masjid, you are surrounded by people who are good people, you are talking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is the question of committing any sin? Now, if we convert that, I'm not saying spend your whole life in the etikaf in the masjid, but even in our normal homes and everywhere else, if you are surrounded by people who are focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is a safety measure for ourselves, inshallah. Now, my brothers and sisters, the idea is to ensure that once we have made istighfar and begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, we never return to that sin again. In corporate leadership, which I teach a technique called mistake proofing, which is really our concept of istighfar and tawbah. I teach that in the corporate world with a different name. And we call this a sequence, and the sequence we call own, learn, fix, monitor. Four steps to that. Own, learn, fix, monitor. Own, first of all, own that you made the mistake. Because the simple truth of life, if I live in a rented house and if I want to knock down this wall and I want to build another wall and I want to, you know, put a bathroom here, can I do that? It's a rented house, I can't do that because I don't own the house. So if I want anything to be done, if I want to put a nail in the wall, I have to ask the owner, can I do that? So if you want to change anything, the first requirement of changing anything is that you need to own the thing you are changing. So in this case now, if I say this mistake, no, not my fault. No, it is somebody else's fault. He did it. So and so made me do that. When you disown the thing, you disown your power to change that. If it is not mine, then what can I do? I can't change it. So if I want to change something, I have to own it. Yes, this is mine. Either I did it deliberately or accidentally or something, whatnot. Nobody makes me do something. Somebody does something, I get provoked and then I choose to react. So when I own it, I can change it. So the first step is to own it. The second one is to then do an objective analysis. No emotion. Why did it happen? This mistake happened. Why did it happen? No emotion. Keep the emotion out of that. Objective analysis. Why did it happen? What were the options? What could I have done? What other than what I chose? What other choices did I have? Do an objective analysis. Number three, having done that, now what is the fix? What is the fix? How do I ensure that this will never happen again? You fixed it. Now monitor that. Is that fix working or not working? What is the metrics? How do I measure? Is it working or not working? Right? I mean, we don't have time in the Jummah khutbah to explain all of this in detail. Inshallah, we'll do some workshop on this sometime. But very useful also in your businesses and everything else. But apply this to ourselves. Istighfar and tawbah. This is what it is. Own it up, istighfar. And the other three are the steps of tawbah, which is learn. Why did it happen? Fix it so it never happens again. And monitor it to ensure that it continues. My brothers and sisters, the bottom line is a Muslim must never commit a sin deliberately. That must not happen. There's no excuse for that. I'm not talking about mistakes. A mistake is a mistake. I'm talking about deliberately doing something knowing it is wrong. I don't need to make a list of all those things. You know them, I know them. Let us make sure that we eliminate them from our lives, from our businesses, from what we eat, from how we earn, where we earn, what we do, what we don't do. Make a list and eliminate them. Strike them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One of the big things I think is a great benefit that COVID has done is it has made us conscious of the importance of diagnosis and treatment. Diagnosing what is wrong. Even in the environment, what is safe, what is safe behavior, what is unsafe behavior. We have become very conscious of that. And that's very good. We should be conscious of it. Now imagine, if we are so conscious of something which is this worldly, how much more conscious of that should we be with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why it is very important. If we are deliberately doing things which end us up in the list of people who, may Allah protect us from that, but who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may punish, then how are we going to meet Allah on the day of judgment? We don't want to be in that situation. Very, very clear. Let us make sure if this is happening in our lives, I need to ask myself if this is happening in my life to say, why am I doing that? My brothers and sisters, please understand this. Death is inevitable. Jahannam is not inevitable. Right? Jahannam is not in a, you don't have to go to Jahannam. If somebody is going to Jahannam, they are earning it. They are working for it. La zulma al-yawm. Allah said there is no zulam on this day. On the day of judgment. Whoever goes to Jahannam is going because he or she wants to go. You want to drink alcohol, you don't get it for free. You have to pay for it. Right? You want to borrow on interest from the bank, you are paying through your nose for 30 years. Shaitan makes sure that when you stand before Allah, you will have no excuse. You can't say, no, I didn't know. You knew. You were paying that for 20 years. You knew perfectly well what you were doing. May Allah protect us. Let us make sure that we do not deliberately do something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And if that is happening, then that is a symptom of the weakness of faith. And as I told you, if our iman today, if it cannot save us from one sin, how is this iman going to save me from the hellfire? Let us not fall into that trap at all. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all sins, from all disobedience. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live a life where He is pleased with us, Jalla Jalaluhu, because that's the only thing which matters. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, to protect you from all harm. I ask Allah to protect you especially from this COVID. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this bala, to remove this iftila, to remove this punishment, if it is a punishment, from this whole world, and to save everyone, whoever it is, Muslim or not Muslim, from this disease, from this ailment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give relief, because only He can give relief. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as with afiyah, whatever you ask, and I ask Allah to add to that from His majesty and grace and generosity. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوه يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة